Thank you, worship team. Well, I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer probably on several different occasions in his ministry. There are two different occasions that are recorded for us in the Gospels. One is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and then the second one is the passage we're going to be looking at this morning. And on this occasion, Jesus is asked by one of his disciples, "Teach us to pray." And so we looked at that a few of these verses a little bit in the early part of the series. Now we're just going to look at this whole section, especially helping us understand that petition that we're looking at today. Give us this day our daily bread. And so Luke chapter 11, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Oh, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, he will give you bread because of your shameless audacity. He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and our lives. So the prayer that Jesus gives us has two basic parts. The three petitions of the first part of the Lord's Prayer deal with God's glory. We ask God to make his name great. We ask him to make his kingdom great and to make it come. We ask that he will make his will great upon the earth through our obedience to his will. And then there comes the second part, and that part also has three petitions, and that second part of the Lord's Prayer deals with our good things that we need, practical things like provision of physical needs, forgiveness, protection from the evil one. And so we're heading into that second part of the Lord's Prayer today. The first petition of this part, in this part of the prayer, is give us this day, or as it says in the Luke version, give us each day our daily bread. And we can draw several lessons from that particular petition. First lesson is we can pray. This teaches us that we can pray for our physical needs. After we get done praying about those spiritual needs, God's name to be honored, his kingdom to come, we can then pray for our physical needs. And really, this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it's really a permission slip to pray about any physical need that concerns us. I said a few weeks ago, the Heidelberg Catechism is a summary of the Christian faith in a question and answer format. And question 125 of the Catechism is, what does the fourth request, or what does the request for daily bread, what does that mean? And the answer is, do take care of all, we can, this will help us. do take care of all our physical needs so that we can come to know you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. But I want you to just really focus on that first part there, this is a prayer that God will take care of all of our physical needs. And so whatever physical need concerns you this morning, pray about it. You are invited to pray about it. And to know that God is the source and the provision to meet that need. He's the source of healing. So pray about those aches and pains and doctor's appointments. He's the source of repair. So pray about dripping faucets and broken roofs and rundown refrigerators. Pray for the repair people who will come into your homes about those things. He's the shepherd. He's the friend giver. He's the wonderful counselor. So pray for yourself and for your kids. Pray for their friendships. Pray for their growth in character. Pray for their knowledge, for their skill development. Pray they will follow Jesus along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Pray that they and you, that all your whole the whole church will shine for him in a dark world. Our God is also, as this text specifically says, the provider of bread. And we still need that. So pray for the poor in your community, in your neighborhoods. Pray for those who are cold and hungry, who depend on Christian ministries like Jesus on Colfax, the Denver Rescue Mission. Pray that those ministries will be successful in bringing food. And then there are other ministries as well that you know about. Let's pray for the success of those ministries. And maybe God will call you to take part in them in deeper ways. The point here is pray about everything that concerns you. Even the small trifles of life, the small problems that some people say, oh, that's too small for God to care about. No, God wants to engage with you about that. Engage God with whatever engages your heart. I love what Richard Foster says here. He says, God's heart is wounded when we hold back from sharing. Just as we long for our own children to share with us the small details of life, at their day at school, so God longs to hear about the smallest details of our lives. It delights him when we share. He welcomes us with our 1,001 trifles, for they are each important to him. Secondly, a second lesson is prayerfully seek each day's provision. Jesus teaches us to pray specifically. There are different versions, small little changes in the wording. In the particular version that we have here in Luke 11, it's give us each day our bread. Each day, give us this day our daily bread. Each day has its provision from God, and it's our task to seek that provision. And you know, there's a Bible story behind this request of the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples, who were Jews, when they heard of it, they would immediately think, oh, I know what story Jesus is talking about. You see, Israel's first experience in God's word of God's daily bread provision came in the book of Exodus, when God's people were in the wilderness. And they got into the wilderness a few days, and then they encountered a need, a hunger. They were hungry, and they were like, how in the world will God provide us food in such a place where you can't really grow food. And then God began a 40-year miracle of giving them manna in the desert nearly every day. And I'll tell you why I say nearly every day. But he met their need for bread every day. He gave them this special bread called manna so that his people could survive in the wilderness. Manna was a white flaky bread that tasted a little like honey, and every new morning it covered the ground like snow. Enough manna covered the ground for the whole nation to eat that particular day, about 1 million people or so. But manna had some wonderful, weird qualities to it. Because it's a bread that spoils a lot quicker than normal bread. Manna had a 24-hour expiration date, and then it rotted. So you needed to collect manna each day. Every day was a day to collect manna and get your daily portion of manna. And you couldn't, like, collect 3 days worth of manna on Monday and then wait to go out again on Thursday. No, it would rot. So you needed to collect on Monday, and then you needed to collect again on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday. Every day you needed to do it. And then I just said there is one exception, however, and that was the Sabbath. That was Saturday. God designed the Friday manna with a 2-day shelf life. That lasted 48 hours so that his people didn't have to collect manna at all on Saturdays, on the Sabbath. They could just focus on rest and worship and refreshment that particular day. So God arranged for the Friday manna to last a little longer, but even that bread expired quicker than normal bread. And all of this teaches daily dependence. I like what Dallas Willard says here. He says, the daily bread provision teaches us to look to God as our daily provider. To say, today, here's what I have going for me. I have God, and he has the provision. And guess what? Tomorrow, I will have God, and he will have the provision. I simply need to ask God for what I need today. Every day, we're invited to engage with God and ask for his gifts for this particular day. You know, one of my mom's favorite sermons for her 7 children, I was the oldest of 7 kids, and so she prayed a lot. And one of her main messages for us is, don't try to live on yesterday's manna. And what she meant is, every day is a day to read this. Every day is a day to seek to know God better. Every day is a day to pray for him, to pray to him about what concerns you on this day. This is your life, this daily interaction with God about your needs. And the Bible says God does care about bread. He cares about bread at least. And my mom would point out this passage from Deuteronomy. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So not only do we need to look to God for our physical needs every day, he's the only source of everything good, and that includes our spiritual needs. And we are called to look to him for our spiritual needs, to seek him out for our spiritual needs. We live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. So don't live on yesterday's manna, but also, don't try to handle all parts of next Tuesday's problem or next Thursday's problem or a problem 3 weeks from now. Don't try to handle all parts of that problem just using today's manna, because God's got more grace in store for you later in the future. I love what Pastor Kevin DeYoung says about this. He says, don't start stewing about the troubles of next Tuesday today because you haven't gotten the grace that will be there waiting for you next Tuesday. God's mercies are new every morning. That's what the Bible says. And so just as the Israelites had to seek manna day by day, we need to seek his mercies day by day. We can't say, God, I've got about 20 seconds, set aside for you today. Nice to see you. Hope you're doing well. By the way, God, I've got this day covered. Don't need your mercies today. I'll depend on my own smarts. I'll depend on my own strength today. No, we can't say that. If that's our mentality as Christians, we don't understand the threats we're up against. No, we need to pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, every day, because we need the Lord's provision every day. And if you think you're standing firm without God, then think again. You're needier than you think. You're weaker than you think. You're facing stronger foes than you think and greater threats than you think. But his grace is more than enough. And his grace is, just like the manna, needs to be sought every day. You know, the prayer Jesus gives us takes less than a minute to pray. But Jesus wants us to take that prayer and to take each petition out and fill it up and make it practical for our own particular life. To fill it up, to develop each petition with our own personal prayers and requests. And as you engage, believe God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. And so Jesus says, if all of this is true, you need a deep engagement. That's what the point of why he's saying, ask, seek, knock. Jesus is giving us great promises here, 6 promises, in fact. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And then he goes back through them. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. There's 6 promises there. A 6-part promise of provision that will inspire us to go out into our day saying, I'm going to be looking for mercies. I'm seeking for mercies because his mercies are new every morning, and there's a custom-designed mercy gift for me today, and I'm going to get it. A 3rd lesson from this particular petition is to pray big requests with audacious boldness. That's Jesus' point in the parable of the friend at midnight. Now, first of all, you need to know that villages in that day, Palestinian villages, they care deeply about hospitality. Everyone expects the grumpy neighbor to who's knocking at the door, who's in his bed. Everyone expects the grumpy neighbor who's in his bed and doesn't want to come to the door. They know he is actually going to be coming to the door. Because the village's honor is at stake. And so this is not like a friend asking you to just, you know, borrow your phone for a week or borrow your car for an entire day. Those are bigger requests. This is more like asking for a cup of sugar or a cup of flour. It's something that you can, it's a reasonable request that you can take care of. The unreasonable part here is that he's knocking at the door at midnight. And that is tough, right? It doesn't require getting out of bed. But the bold man knows his grumpy friend will eventually help him so long as he just, you know, keeps knocking. Even though his grumpy friend is full of excuses about locked doors and children being in bed, his grumpy friend will help because he cares about the village's honor. Is he bold? Yes. Is he gutsy and daring and presumptuous? Yes, yes, yes. And what we see in this story, and the reason Jesus told it, is to just encourage us that daring requests work. Daring requests work. I have a brother-in-law who does this really well. Maybe some would say maybe he's a little bit too much of a charmer, maybe a little bit too manipulative, but I just remember a story that I always think of it when I look at this passage. Years ago, Joel was, we were all out at a restaurant together as a family, and he wanted some chips and cheese. And he noticed that the restaurant was one of these that gave complimentary chips. And so he asked the waitress, he said, you know, kind of with a twinkle in his eye, could you sprinkle a little bit of melted cheese on these chips? And she replied, oh, would you like the nachos that are right here? And he's like, no, I just would like a little bit of complimentary melted cheese on these chips here. And she was like, oh, okay. And she brought to the table complimentary chips with melted cheese, tasted a lot like nachos. And his daring request worked. And now Jesus is not saying in this passage, I just encourage you to go and wake up friends at midnight. That's not what it's about. It's about one thing. Daring requests work. And if they work with grumpy friends, how much more will they work with your totally generous Father in heaven? So Jesus says, go ahead, be daring in prayer. Make big, bold, audacious requests of your heavenly Father. You're going to get some great blessings coming into your life. Does anybody remember that old show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Just raise your hand if you remember that show. Okay, so yeah, I think we could have a show as well. Sometimes kids pray the darndest things. They pray big, bold prayer requests because they believe God has the heart and the goodness and the power and the love. He's got everything he needs. And so they just pray. One of my favorite stories of a little girl just praying a big, bold, audacious prayer is told by this missionary doctor named Dr. Helen Rosevere, and that's a picture of her. She found herself as a missionary doctor holding a newborn premature baby whose mother had just died in childbirth. And to make matters worse, the hot water bottle, which they had been using to keep the newborn baby warm, had just broken. And so there were no other hot water bottles to warm up this child. And Helen noticed some orphans were right there in the Mission Compound Hospital. And she, as a believer in prayer, she said, I got to enlist these orphans, these 10 girls, to pray for this situation. And the sort of leader of the group was this 10-year-old girl named Ruthie. And Ruthie began to pray. And just prayed with passion. Please, God, send us a hot water bottle today. Please, it will be no good tomorrow if it comes tomorrow. By then, the baby will be dead. Send the hot water bottle this afternoon. And also, send a dolly. Send a baby dolly for the baby girl so she'll know you really love her. And Dr. Helen, she loved this girl so much, but she was skeptical about the prayer, and so she said, I couldn't really say amen to it, to Ruthie's prayer, but she loved it. It was a gutsy prayer, but she was like, it's quite unlikely. She had been at this mission hospital for 4 months, and no gift boxes had come during the 4 months. And then she said, and if someone did send a gift to our mission hospital here on the equator of Africa, why would they ever send a hot water bottle? Who would think of sending a hot water bottle to a very warm place, the equator of Africa? Well, a couple hours later, a car drops off a 22-pound care package full of clothing, bandages, food, and a brand new hot water bottle. And it basically saved the little girl's life. And Dr. Helen said, I began to cry. I didn't join Ruthie's initial prayer. I didn't think God could do it. And then she said, and you know, when Ruthie saw the water bottle, she said, oh, let's go look for the dolly. The dolly has to be in here somewhere. God must have sent the dolly too. And sure enough, at the bottom of the box was a beautiful doll for the little baby. Jesus wants you and I to pray big, bold, specific prayers as though our Heavenly Father is great enough and good enough to give not only what would meet our needs, but also what would delight our heart. And then last of all, pray, trusting God will give something really good. Now, sometimes he gives the specific thing we ask for, like this story I just told. But the point in verses 11 through 13 is that one of the main reasons to keep praying is you say, here's what I like, and sometimes God gives you another good thing that you come back to later and say, that's the specific thing I really needed. And so Jesus says, listen, disciples, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And sometimes you tailor the gifts and you change it a little bit, but you know how to do it. You're evil, but you still know how to give good gifts to your children. And so how much more will a perfect heavenly Father know how to give good gifts, even the best gifts, even the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him? The Father's heart is perfectly good. And so the best gifts are going to flow from his heart. They're going to be just exactly suited to our needs. They're going to reflect an understanding of where our character is at this particular moment in our life, what our character flaws are, what we can amount of good things we can handle without getting spoiled, what our personality strengths are, what our place in the community is, how this gift might have a spillover effect and help others in our community. God's taking all those factors into account. And so sometimes we get exactly the thing that we ask for, and sometimes we get something that turns out to be even better. And I love how Pastor Tim Keller says, what he says about this, is that we always are, what the heart of faith believes, is that we always get the thing we would have asked for if we knew all the facts that our Heavenly Father does. He just knows everything better. And that's so true. Maybe some of you remember the old Garth Brooks song, country singer Garth Brooks. He had this song, "Some of God's Greatest Gifts Are Unanswered Prayers." Anybody remember that song? I really liked that song. And I think it's true. I think most every thoughtful Christian that I've talked to that is really praying in their life, if they're older than 40 especially, they'll testify to you to that truth that it's happened in their life. That maybe they are praying for something when they were in their teens or they were in their 20s. And they were sure at that time, this is what God needs to do. And he didn't give it, but sometimes he gave something else a little bit later. And they looked back and they said, I'm so glad he didn't give me the gift I was asking for, but I got the one that came later. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers because he made our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows what we need better than we do. He knows our growth needs, our maturity needs, the needs of our whole community. And so sometimes we ask for a fish, and he gives us a fisherman or a fishing instructor who teaches us to fish. So we're not only receiving a provision for ourselves, but we can be instruments of his provision for others in our community. And we always are praying our daily bread because it's about our whole community. And maybe someone groans and says, it's really hard for me to pray these kind of prayers, Pastor, because I have prayed specifically. I have had my times in my life that I've prayed specifically, and I've got loss. And I've got that answered prayer, and I've got that heartache. And what about the evils that I suffer? What about the times God calls us to bear a cross? And God does call us to do that and to endure it. And you know what? All of those are important questions. And I do believe eventually we will get around to them. But for today, I want you to look at this communion table. Because there is something of an answer here at the communion table. And of course, it needs to get more explanation at another time. But see at this communion table how the Heavenly Father gave his Son for our salvation. See how the Son voluntarily gave up his life, gave up his blood, and suffered our penalty, the cruel cross, to pay for the penalty of our sin and to give us a place at his heavenly banqueting table. He gives us his bread for our forgiveness. He gives us his life for our life forevermore. And so, are there still questions? Yes. Take your questions to him in prayer. Bring that into the same framework, the same rubric of ask, seek, knock. Don't let your questions and your hurts take you out of a daily relationship, a daily engagement with your Heavenly Father. Don't let it take you out of the habit of asking and seeking and knocking. Keep seeking. Even with a broken heart, even with tears in your eyes, and you will find many great provisions in this life. And in the next, you will feast in the house of Zion. You will feast with your hearts restored. You will feast in the house of Zion. You will feast and weep no more. Amen.